Arroyo as deep as you can be out and right pretty much for a second baseman. And now the pitch swung on and hits a deep right center field, and it's off the wall. Kike Hernandez picks it up, but Bregman is around to score. Alvarez has done it again, and an RBI double makes it 1-0 Houston. The 0-1. And a swing and a fly ball to left field. Michael Brantley is there, and the Houston Astros are going to the World Series. They win the final three games of this series, coming back from a 2-1 deficit. They win it in six. And for the third time in the last 5 years, the Astros are heading to the World Series. They wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
You know, I really like that, David Culley. I love being around him, but I really don't want to hear his voice today, if you want to know the truth. I've never seen a more bumbling, stumbling, a worst organized, less interesting, more incompetent football team than this football team that we're subjected to in this city. It cannot possibly be worse. The Lions, at least, they're the only winless team. At least they're competitive. Did you see what they did yesterday? They came out, drove down the field.
They played Madden yesterday. They're like, fake punt.
Fake punt. Jack Fox from Rice.
Yeah.
Through the pass, fake
the Lions
punt.
Are like,
onside kick,
yeah,
then fake punt,
yeah.
I mean,
Campbell basically said, we're going for it.
Who cares?
We got, and by the way, the Ravens, all these lucky runs by the Ravens, like Lamar Jackson throwing for 400 because the Colts can't tighten up a little bit in the fourth quarter, kicking a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions. You know, their luck ran out. We'll talk about that. But, you know, the Lions have been getting beat late by teams, and it kind of happened with the Rams again. Like they've been very competitive. The Lions have been a very competitive team. The Texans are competitive for a half.
What half?
They're competitive in general for the first half.
They were actually not. They scored five points.
For the first half, they had a lead longer than Arizona did in the first half.
That's great. And then at the end of the, I took them plus 18.5, and
why?
I'm so stupid.
Why?
Because I'm stupid.
Why? They can't score
because
in the second half.
Because I'm too stupid.
They can't score in the second half of games.
No. The second half, they scored. Are you kidding me? They scored 5 points, Lance. What second half of games? They had the field goal to start the game, and then they had the twisting of little Kyler's face. And they get a 2-point, and they get the safety, and then that was it. And then it was over. It's so bad. The 8 penalties for 80 yards, and I hear coach every week, we got to clean up the penalties. We got to clean up the – it's so bad. It is and here's the deal, and I thought Jackie put it pretty well. At least the Astros awful had a plan. What is their plan? When you sign mid veterans to 1-year deals, how are you making the organization better? I said it before the season started. Sign a boatload of undrafted free. I know you didn't have any draft picks. I'm sorry. You know what? Bill O'Brien screwed the organization, and I get that. But sign a bunch of undrafted free agents. You don't know if you're going to. What's the difference? Why is Grugier Hill? Or why is Peter Lewis or whatever? I don't know. Why are they on this team?
Kevin Pierre Lewis.
Whatever his name is. I don't care. Why is Malik Collins having a penalty every game that is a killer?
You care about this.
I do care about this because it's the football team that we've loved. And, well, no, listen.
Just put him in the deep freeze. I've done this with the Rockets before. when they had Pat Patterson and that group of scallywags. Before James Harden got here.
The Stephen Catino group, I just couldn't watch anymore.
I cared about that. I just was super frustrated. I didn't care about the Astros when they didn't have any players. And it was, who was Tattoo Guy? Before it was Super Tattoo Guy, the outfielder, Brett, not Wallace. You know who I'm talking about. I can't remember his name. Brett something. Who cares? He's nobody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't care about that team. You put them in the deep freeze. And I was thinking about it yesterday. That's kind of where this Texans team are. Just a bunch of nobodies who won't be here in the long term. Like, they won't have – in 3 years, I'll be shocked if five guys are still on the roster from this team. In 3 years, if five guys are still on the roster, I can't care about this team. I mean, it's a – okay, you know what? I want to see if Davis Mills can. The answer's no. Okay, that's what he is. What I thought he was.
But I'd like to see that. You know what? That at least they're, again, I saw Jackie's tweet, and he couldn't agree more. And it's stupid to agree with Jackie. It's so dumb. But at least they had a plan. And you know what? You knew what the Astros were going through. They got a plan. They're going to lose. They're going to get high draft picks. They're going to be awful. And they're going to try young guys. Bring young guys in and out. You know, I thought the signing of Feldman. Remember when they signed Feldman for $30 million?
Yeah,
from the Brewers. I was like, why are you doing that? Why? But that's when they were starting to say, okay, we're going to be getting a little better. We're going to get a little better. We're going to get a little better. This organization is so stupid. I'm done. You're right. I'm with everybody. I finally get to listen to y'all, and you're starting with the Texans.
Why, what are you doing to us? We're going to the World Series, and you got the Texans have you like this?
Well, I'm just so. I was sick.
Dude, start some new music. Let's start the show over.
All right.
Just do something different. Like,
well, I heard Cully's voice. That's why.
Don't play a sound. It wasn't even a. It was just, I like being around them.
Yeah,
that
triggered me.
I like being around
them. That triggered me.
Play different music. Play International's Players Anthem. Can you play that?
We'll talk
about Vanessa Richardson.
We'll talk about that later. I went and listened to it. We can't play this. I don't think they can play that, Vanessa.
I don't think there's a clean version. You can get an instrumental version.
It's a good song.
It's a really good song. It's Outkast and UGK. It's just in Atlanta, and it caused an uproar with
so stupid. people are so stupid.
These still people trying to fight about it, and like, do you not understand? This isn't about the national anthem. This isn't about international players.
It's not about anything.
It's just a rap song.
Well, but Atlanta, it has the word anthem in it.
And everyone's like, do you understand that people died and you took a written? Like, it's an Atlanta rap group and a Houston collaboration. And the song happens to be called International Players Anthem. Like, why are they going to play a different song before a game? It's just, do you hear this?
I don't think you can do this, though, Tyler.
Yeah, he can.
No, this one's clean.
Oh, this is the clean one? There is a clean one?
Yeah.
When you hear Andre 3000 come at you and rocket and spit the game.
I mean, look, this is, it's so funny. Vanessa Richardson.
Well, so people don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, the show just started over. Now, forget that anything Texans have. Texans lost 31-5. That's a real shame. The Astros are going to the World Series, and they're playing the Atlanta Braves. Another enemy has been vanquished. This time, the Dodgers. And we had the Braves do it. By Yankees, by Red Sox. We didn't know you were against this Red Sox, but now we know. By Jared Karibas and all y'all guys. And then by Dodgers. So the Braves and the Astros, that's the World Series. And it starts here in Houston tomorrow. Now, Vanessa Richardson, who came from Indianapolis, has been here in Houston for, I think, 2.5 years now, maybe 3 years. She was the one who got the interview with Jeff Leno. You may remember when Channel 2 had an exclusive, and he talked in his house. And she, I met her before. Cool girl. I like her. I think she's good at what she does. I like her. And she made a comment about, Atlanta versus Houston. If they don't play internationals, they should play the International Players Anthem or something like that. Was the tweet? I'll pull the exact thing up that she said. And here's what she said. If the World Series ends up being Houston versus Atlanta, International's Players Anthem needs to be played before every game. You just heard the song by UGK. It was Bun B and Pimp C from here in Houston. And they collaborated with an Atlanta rap group called Outkast. And the song was called International Players Anthem. And Vanessa made a pop culture reference to that song. The comments on here, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
The Olympic anthem, maybe.
Aren't they?
So many Latin nations represented. Astro scouts do amazing jobs finding great players in Latin America.
Shouldn't they be thrilled that they should listen to our national anthem because they should be thrilled that they're making money here in our country?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If multiple Americans play cricket for a team in the UK, there should be zero expectation we will hear the U.S. national anthem. Get it? Says Mark Murphy. None of these people follow me. And then it goes on and on. These comments are unbelievable how triggered people are about the title of a song because they thought it was one thing and they didn't do the research. And all I put on my tweet is I said, I've watched Twitter struggle all the time with context. Reading the replies to Vanessa's tweet will give you the perfect example. If you know, you know. But if you don't, keep your Google machine close before you get too salty in her comments. And it's just filled with that. And then even when you say that, people still don't get it. And then I think it's put to a point now that some of them are embarrassed and they're trying to turn it into a different fight so they don't look so lame. I get if you don't understand the reference, but to start firing away in the comments section, what an embarrassing look for many of these people.
All right, so the Astros and the Braves are set up, and maybe we can play more international players' anthem throughout the show. That's awesome. Thank you, Vanessa, for the suggestion. But here's the deal is our team came up just unbelievable, huge, gigantic guyones. It two outs. How this team is hitting with two outs is unbelievable. How this bullpen is pitching, the starts that you got from Fromber and then Luis Garcia, unbelievable. After McCullers went down, this team was thought to be dead, and this team took care of that business. And now you've got one more, and it is the dreaded Braves, who were your nemesis in the 90s, and it just eliminated you seemingly every year, except one when the Padres got you. But they got you in 97, 99, 2001, and then you finally got them. You finally got them in 2004. And who did it? Who got them? Who eliminated the Atlanta? Who had you advance for the first time ever as an organization? Chris Burke. And Chris Burke will be joining us in about 15 minutes, 18 minutes here on ESPN 97.
The job Luis Garcia did will go down in no matter what happens in the next series, it will.
Those two.
Well, and Fromber, we gave Fromber his love on Friday. What Garcia did on, I told you, I thought 4 1/3, I'd take 4 1/3, 2 to 3 runs. If you could somehow get 5 out of him, that'd be incredible. You get 6 1-hit ball. 6 innings, 1-hit ball, and he was brilliant. And I'm telling you, they were either stealing signs, which, by the way, legally, I think. I'm not saying even illegally. They were either getting signs
or tipping,
or they were tipping.
Yeah.
Because you don't get every hitter was laying off certain pitches. And the Astros were also nibbling. So I think it was a combination of the two. They weren't coming in. Once Christian Javier came in and said, "Bleep you guys, I'm throwing strikes." It's like the whole series changed. Other pitchers did it. Strami got to Fromber. Strami, and he made a change with where his plant foot was and how he distributed his weight. He talked about that, too. He got to Garcia. The new Jeff Passan mentioned this 3-mile-an-hour uptick, and people were jumping all over it because Luis Garcia was throwing 97, miles an hour faster than he had been. And what Luis Garcia said was Strom actually came up with basically where his foot was planted, like how his mechanics were because he was blocking himself. He was able to unload and unleash. And the result was a fast fastball, an aggressive approach to throwing strikes, and a breaking pitch, John, that all of a sudden, it's like they didn't know it was cut. I'm telling you, something happened where they stopped knowing what the pitches were going
to
be.
And well, there's a reason that Strami actually brought this up to Mark Berman, made it public. I mean, it's not a coincidence.
No.
He really did think,
they scored Three runs in three games.
And
after
guess
that.
What? The series turned after that.
They went 2-1-0 after Strom made his comments. Right. Three total runs in three games for the hottest lineup on the planet.
Yeah.
Nah, first something doesn't add up.
First time ever, one guy out-hit the other team.
We did.
A human, by the way. A human. That's what was tweeted out. The first time ever a human has ever beat the opposing team.
One guy has out-hit the opposing team in the last two games of a series.
Is he a human, though?
I don't know if he's a human.
Is he a human?
Corey, we're going to take a break on the other side. You can get in. Chris Burke joins us bottom of the hour. We've got all... Let's talk Texas, guys.
Oh.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but he...
Don't take the point.
He literally triggered me when I heard I like being around him.
It's just built into our opening.
I know.
It wasn't even about the game.
Man, we might have to take that out because I might be pissed every morning.
It was 6 minutes of fire and anger.
They're stupid. That organization is so stupid.
But if you weren't plus 18 and a half, you would have
been so mad. Did you see Kel's birthday tweet?
Yeah, what... Texans, y'all can't tweet. You gotta have
some self-awareness.
At least eliminate the ability to comment on it.
Yeah, right.
Just turn off comment.
Oh my God, it's just so bad. All right, time to talk about Chastang Ford, which is so good. Those are my peeps over at Chastang Ford. Love what they're doing. And listen, the F-150s. You think you can't get a deal on them right now because of the backup and everything else, and how how these dealerships feel like they own you now. You go to dealerships now and they're saying, well, because of the pricing now, we're going to have to add $5,000 because of the industry and all of the, we're going to have to add $10,000. There's stories of dealerships adding $15,000 to the price because of what? What is with you? And Chastang, Patrick told me, he said, we refuse to do that. We will never charge anyone more for their vehicle, just so that because it takes a while to get it. Whatever. Look, if you're looking for that vehicle right now, they're going to give you another $1,000 off on certain F-150s. They're going to give you 72 months interest-free payments on F-150s. If you're looking for the best deal on F-150s with no add-ons, and they promise they're not going to throw $15,000 on there as well, go to ChastangFord.com. You can do it all from home, or you can get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. So it's the Braves and the Astros, and it is so much fun. It is so much fun. And it's so much fun, and it's so expensive. Holy crap, the prices right now they're going to go down. So if you're going to buy, hold off just a little bit because they're already starting to come down. Immediately after, they just skyrocketed. I went yesterday on Simple Seats. The cheapest ticket you could get was over $700, mm-hmm. and that was in the 400 level.
Yeah.
Now it's down to six something, and it'll continue to fall.
It's going
to
come down.
It's going to come down.
It's going to come down, but it's going to be expensive. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every year, you've been on secondary markets for years. I have for years. And I remember I had to buy one ticket to go. My father-in-law bought the other tickets. I had to buy one ticket for national championship game, 06, Texas, USC. And I bought it on eBay for $930 for one ticket. I think he may have paid our flight. I can't remember if he took care of our flights or whatever, but he bought the other ticket for my wife, and I had to trust a guy from eBay to have my ticket. I had to meet him there. And to his credit, you couldn't find any tickets on site. Like, no one was selling tickets. He met me there. He could have easily resold that. He could have just said, screw that guy. I'll just let him get his refund back and I'll take the $1,400 from somebody else. But he gave me he met me and gave me the ticket. I handed him the cash and we were good to go.
Now it's a sophisticated business.
But that was that was 06. Here we are 15 years later, and the rates that was an insane price at that time. Now, this is like what stuff costs.
Yeah.
It big people have gotten used to paying.
So we
had big prices.
So we had good seats up the third base line. We were on TV, by the way, me and Wendy.
I know, I saw you. People were bringing it up.
People, I mean, it was, and I don't know what was happening during the game, but
somebody asked which one was Joey Votto who was sitting around her. Like, which one's Joey
Votto? No, well, and there's a shot that people didn't capture to put on Twitter, but my buddies captured. It was like, I was looking one way, my wife was looking the other, and it was like, they started saying marriage counseling, because we weren't smiling at the time, okay? But we were not having a... I'm not getting a divorce from my wife because you catch her one at the, where we weren't smiling at the time. Okay. So just so you know, you all know that. All right. We're fine. My wife and I, we didn't have an argument, just have an argument or anything like that. Anyway, we bought those seats and they were pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Well, they're five times what they were.
Yeah. I'm looking at
five times right now.
Like the lowest infield seats you can find right now in Simple Seats is $997. That's the lowest, and that's in the right field corner.
Yeah.
Right field corner is the lowest price you can find there. You don't even want to
what
look
is it? What is section 106 right now? That's where we were sitting.
Oh, my goodness. You're not going to want to know. Let's see. Slow down here. Section 106.
Talk into the mic because people.
Oh, yeah. Section 106. Okay, so that would be. Oh, so you're down the.
Third baseline.
So down the line.
Third
all the way down left field line.
Yeah. We were. We had the first seats that were turned towards.
Right there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The lowest price right there is right now $944.
Oh, so it's three times. It's gone down.
Yeah.
It's three times.
It's $944. Yeah, I couldn't believe the price. I tried to get on real fast when it was like the ninth inning, and I started feeling good after the strike him out, throw him out. And after Tucker's home run. I started three-run home
then
run.
It's too late.
I was like, I ran on there and like, what, 1,200? Yeah, right. Like in the nosebleed.
No.
And I thought, okay, maybe Simple Seats is putting a high number to keep from people from trying to hog
them. Remember
all
the seats we sat in? We sat just off the plate for the White Sox series. Lance and I and Nicole and my wife and my brother. Those were going for like $3,000.
My wife said, "Was that John's dad? I mean Wendy's dad." I said something about Wendy's dad because Ryan Lachey, I saw him on Saturday night. He goes, "Yeah, your scumbag friend was in here last night. He was pounded, way liquored up." I said, "What?" I said, "After the game." Oh yeah,
after the game.
Oh yeah. He goes, "Him, his wife, and his father-in-law." I said, "John Oop was in."
Yeah, John Oop was
in. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, John Oop.
He goes, "Oh, it was fun. He was a good guy." And my wife goes, "Oh, John Oop, is that the one who was at the game?" I said, "That's John's brother, Craig. What are you talking about? Is that Wendy's dad?"
He's old enough to be. He's old. We got when we come back, Chris Perkins is going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At the time, one of the biggest hits in Astros history, the first time they had ever advanced in a playoff series. Chris Burke hit the home run that beat the Braves, finally beat the Braves after all of that heartbreak that the Braves had given the Astros. I'm telling you, this series, this is kind of neat. There's no vitriol between these two, but there's a lot of history. There's a lot of playoff history between these two.
And it wasn't good. If you're an Astros fan, the rare time you got past the Braves, what, 0-1?
No, they didn't get past them in 0-1. In 0-4. 0-1,
oh,
they
no,
lost.
Wait. Yeah. When was the year that Larry Durker said something about the Shane, or was that 99?
Yeah, that was 99.
It's 99. Yeah. That's right, where Darryl Ward hit a home run. Is like, oh, wait a minute. This might be a little bit different. And then Larry Durker went after Shane Reynolds. Like, he just didn't want to be out there. Like, whoa, Derek, I don't know if you're supposed to say that out loud.
Yeah.
I took him out because he didn't want to be out there. He's too scared. He was a big old chicken. Like, whoa. He didn't actually say all that, but basically.
All right, so we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But what we're doing right now is talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. Those are our peeps over there. TheBenchPlumbing.com. It makes it easy for you to get there. TheBenchPlumbing.com. You can remember that because when you need them, you might not need them right now. But you talked about this before. Water heater, the tankless water heater. These guys will do that. If you've had bad pipes, if you've got an older home and you still have copper pipes, maybe you didn't have a problem during the freeze. Maybe you did, but whatever the case may be, you might want to get rid of those. You might want to repipe because it's so much better right now.
Yeah, I had copper. Like, if you have a house that's built in the 60s, you're going to have copper pipes, and it's going to be a nightmare for you. I mean, it's going to be it's going to leak. It did at our house. It caused issues underneath our foundation. It's going to be an issue, and it may be an issue right now. Go have it static tested. They can hydrostatic testing. They do that. They can find out if you have a leak anywhere. And if you do, they can repipe in a single day. It's amazing. And here's the other thing they can do. Like John said, retrofit you with tankless water heaters. They can handle just leaky faucets, or they can handle major, major jobs out there as well to make sure that your plumbing needs are taken care of. They do it quickly. They do it for a great price, and they are waiting for your phone call. Go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com, and take advantage of great people and great prices, thebenchplumbing.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And the pitch. Swinging. Lining it to left. It's gone! It's gone! It's gone!
Wes Burke!
Holy Toledo! What a way to finish!
Wes Burke just purchased the ticket to St. Louis.
Look at the mod.
Unbelievable.
All right, that was 2004, the first time the Astros advanced in the playoffs, and it was Chris Burke who hit that game-winning home run in the 18th inning of Game 4, and he's joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5. Chris, how are you? Excuse me, that was 2005, not 2004. I apologize. 2005, not 2004. Chris, what's going on?
All good. All good. I'm doing great. How y'all?
Good, man. What do you think of when you hear that sound?
Oh, man, a lot of good memories. A lot of good memories, incredible games. You know, I've seen a couple of clips going around Twitter the last couple of days, one specifically by MLB Network, that I feel like, you know, does the game itself justice, because, you know, obviously grateful to be the one that finished that game off, but, man, that game had a story to tell that had a lot more to do with it than just my hit at the end. So cool to see the game being remembered a little bit more than just one swing of the bat, but certainly grateful that I was able to finish it off.
Yeah, Berkman always. What about my home run? Nobody talks about that. Osmus' home run?
Yeah,
Burke's home run? What about my home run?
Osmus' home run really is the one. I mean, Lance, obviously, we wouldn't have been close enough for Brad's homer to mean anything if Lance wouldn't have done what he did, but you know, and I think Lance, people go back and look at Lance's postseason numbers. Obviously, they weren't all with the Astros. He had a great run with the Cardinals the year they won the World Series. But Lance was one of the great postseason hitters of his generation. So that grand slam hit was kind of what we just come to expect from Big Puma, that part of his career especially.
Yeah, and Beltran had a, you know, and you were there for Beltran and his magic in 04. We talked about Lance. Beltran was unbelievable in 04. And then, you know, we've seen since that time where it just lived in lore here in Houston. Now we've had Jose Altuve do stuff. We've had Alex Bregman. We had Carlos Correa. And now Yordan Alvarez. Like, there's just so many players in this lineup who come up with, and I didn't even mention two-out, three-run home runs by, you know, by Kyle Tucker either, but Yordan's the latest. Speak to what Yordan was able to do this series and what kind of hitter he's becoming.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate to get to call the ALDS for ESPN Radio, and so I got to really sit on those guys for the first time for four straight games and really watch them go about their business. And it's pretty spectacular to watch that lineup work. I've spoken to a few teams since then just about there's a beauty and a power in each guy in that lineup and how they're all unique, but they follow a similar mantra, which is they trust the guy behind them. And you see these guys have incredible pitch recognition and strike zone discipline, and they're not afraid to let the next guy get it done, right? And so they make the pitcher throw the ball over the wide of the plate, and they're also talented in their own unique ways that when a pitcher finally does throw a ball that these guys can impact, there's just so many big swings. I think Alvarez, you know, what I was really impressed by him in both playoff series was, you know, his ability to handle left-handers. He hangs in there about as well as any left-hander, much less one that's 24 years old. And then he's just a very strong man that can hit the ball out foul pole to foul pole. So he sees the breaking ball, the barrel's efficient enough to get to the heater. And again, like so many of the other guys in this lineup, it doesn't really go out of the strike zone. And I just think that's what makes this team so exhausting to pitch to, is they just don't give you much.
Well, and Chris Burke is with us here, ESPN analyst on a lot of college baseball. Chris, I've seen you a lot doing the World Series and obviously doing the major leagues as well with ESPN Radio. Chris Burke here, who hit the game-winning home run in 2005 to send the Astros to their first ever playoff win. So, but not only that, Chris, but you want to talk about clutch. And you coming up with that big hit, I mean, you know, that it's so unbelievable. You got 18 innings and you're standing up there and how nervous you are and you want to win the game. These guys are, it's a different breed. Their OPS is over 1,000 with two outs and runners in scoring position in the playoffs. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
No, it really is. And I'm telling you, I saw it in the White Sox series. Like, they just, you know, most guys when they get up in a big spot, runners on, there's this I have to do it mentality, like I've got to get it done, and I don't know if it's verbalized, I don't know if it's just a trust factor that emanates through the years of experience and chemistry and getting it done, and the new guys just kind of hop on board and pick up where the other guys have left off. But there is something to these guys where they don't feel like they have to get it done, and because of that, they're okay with taking their walks. And eventually the pitcher's got to make a pitch, right? Eventually the pitcher's got to throw somebody a strike. And they wait out at bats. There's so many long quality at bats. And the dam is going to break at some point, right? And it just feels like, you know, there's so many quality at bats through the inning. And so few guys are willing to leave the strike zone that at some point, whoever it is, and that's the beauty of their lineup, you know, let's be honest, Maldonado's obviously struggled in the postseason, but they got 8 guys in there that can really hurt you. And at some point, the pitcher's going to mess up, and whenever he does, it seems like the guy who's up to bat at that time, and it's been a different guy a lot, is going to make a swing when he needs to. It's really impressive to watch.
It's so impressive to watch their plate discipline. I mean, Altuve at times can get fooled. You know, we know,
yeah,
Biggio for his entire career just had trouble laying off that slider low and away. It was just his bugaboo, and that's how the Braves attacked him all the time. And Altuve, from time to time, will get caught up with it. But I think what's really impressive is how this team, even a guy like Yordan, is really they don't get out of their discipline from a standpoint of how they're going to approach the plate. They really know the strike zone, even with two strikes. They don't expand to stupid levels, and they still make the pitchers come in and throw strikes for the most part.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, I think Altuve is probably the one guy in the lineup that'll expand, and part of that's because he's just such a gifted, almost like Ichiro, he's just such a gifted bat-to-ball hitter that he feels like there's almost anything that he can hit. But I think at the end of the day, the willingness to take their walks, and, you know, I think part of what makes them special is a rally for their lineup is not unique, right? So, for instance, everybody knows we weren't the most talented or deepest team in 2005 offensively. And so when you got two guys on, sometimes there tended to be this desperation within the mindset of the club of like, man, we kind of got to do it right here, you know. And we know we only need 3 or 4 to win it because of how good our pitching is. And, you know, so that felt like there was almost an added layer of pressure maybe. Whereas this lineup, I mean, two guys on – feels like every inning, right? So I think they play with a comfort level of knowing, hey, if we don't get them this inning, we'll get them next inning, again, because the lineup is so deep. And, you know, covering that first series, Dusty said, and obviously Reddick's not there anymore, but he said Reddick used to have a line. It happens fast, boys. It happens fast. And I probably used that five times in that ALDS series because, man, it does happen fast with that team. It could be two outs and nobody on, and you look up in a blink of an eye and they got a three spot on the board.
Yeah.
Just because they're going to make you get three outs every inning. They're going to make you execute three strikes to every hitter. And it's hard to do because there's some fear factor facing that lineup, and pitchers don't really want to go in the strike zone. So it's a lineup that has depth that's just very hard to navigate.
Chris Burke with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So with Lance McCullers, there was a question whether or not they had enough pitching. Without Lance McCullers, do they have enough pitching?
Well, it doesn't feel like it, but don't tell that to the Red Sox. You know, it was you know, after the first four games of the ALCS, thinking, oh, man, I guess, you know, just – and I remember saying that to a few people around here. They're like, oh, your Astros aren't looking so good. I'm like, well, I mean – you take an ace who gave them, what do you give them, 10 and two-thirds scoreless innings or maybe one run or something in the ALDS, you take that out of the mix, that's a pretty big hole to fill. And so, but you got to give them credit. The second time through the rotation, you know, especially Framber, really rose to the occasion. So, look, I think if they win, they're going to win on the heels of 7-5, 8-6 kind of ball games. I'd be surprised if these games were played, you know, below five runs. But the good news is the Astros can win that kind of game, and the bullpen has been fantastic, right? Now, again, we'll see if it can hold up. But Dusty seems to be pushing a lot of the right buttons as far as when to pull guys and who to go to. They've got some options that have proven themselves trustworthy. And you just know that offense is going to make plays. So I think it's going to be extremely exciting, entertaining series.
As a former infielder and a guy who played some shortstop in college, you can certainly appreciate that throw from shortstop that has to be made when it's in the hole and you've got guys busting it down the line. What are your thoughts on Carlos Correa, the defender? We know what he does offensively, and we know what he's been doing, but is there anyone in the game better than him defensively when it comes to range, arm strength, consistency, just everything that you look for in a defender?
No, I actually said that in the first series. I think he's the best thrower I've ever seen from shortstop. It's a little unique. You know, if he grew up in the middle part of our country, like in the Midwest or something, he'd probably be playing NFL quarterback. I mean, that's what he looks like, right? And even the release, it's short and it's explosive. And there's so much conviction, and the ball spins so true as it goes across the infield. I just, you know, most big league infielders, you see three or four different arm angles. They'll kind of cool flip it over to first from time to time. Like, Carlos is throwing a fastball. He's throwing it from the same release point, and he's throwing it nose high every time. And as big a man as he is, he does have fantastic range. But the ability to throw the ball, to pretty much throw anybody out when he gets his glove on the ball, and to turn double plays that a lot of people can't, because you need that 95 mile an hour fastball across the diamond to get a guy by half a step, definitely changes their dynamic defensively. I think they got the best defensive infield in the big leagues, and he's certainly the keystone of that.
How about that? It's the Braves. All the history that these two postseason history that these two teams have, Chris, and there's no vitriol really for the cheating scandal. You had to go through all the crap with all these other teams. If I'm the Braves, I don't mention it. I shy away from anything because
I don't think you don't want to poke the bear.
You don't want to poke this bear, do you, Chris?
Who knows what fans will do, right? You know. There's no telling. And obviously, whatever happens, it's not going to be as bad as what the White Sox had to say.
So, no.
No.
Those fans were brutal.
Brutal.
40,000 people stand up when somebody got hit, stand up and cheer when somebody gets hit by a pitch. But Altuve handled it like he does everything else. Just kind of smiled.
Scored a run.
Hit a three-run homer.
Three-run homer later, and in that same inning, he got from the batter's box walking to first base after he got hit, and before you know it, he was scoring a run. Carlos Correa is bringing it.
Yeah. Now you know, I don't know how the Braves fans will handle it. I don't think the Astros particularly care. Something tells me at this point they probably kind of like it. You know, feels a little bit like a redemption tour for them. And to be honest with you, like I don't think anybody that's ever put on that uniform or really played the game was happy about what went on and what was going on in that period of time. By the same token, to deny this group's greatness is to have your eyes closed. And so there's something for me personally, just selfishly, I want to see these guys get another one because I think their greatness shouldn't be denied because of what they had going on. So they certainly look like they're on that mission. And of course, you never know what's going to happen with Correa, right? This might be the last time you see this group together. The core of course, Springer's gone, but you know, I think if Correa leaves, it really will feel like a different group, right? And you don't know how much Brantley has left in the tank, and a lot of question marks, right? So it does feel like, you know, kind of a one last go round feel to this group. So something tells me they're not going to be denied.
Yeah. Oh well, I hope you're right from your mouth to God's ear. Chris Burke with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great catching up with you, Chris. We really appreciate it. Best of luck. You're getting more stuff with ESPN, right? I saw you doing the college stuff. Now you're getting radio stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm a college guy first and foremost. So I love that gig. There's nothing like it. College baseball is like playoff baseball all year round. But certainly, if they keep calling me to do the playoffs, I'm going to say yes.
Heck yeah.
And your Vols were pretty competitive against Alabama for a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, that was
nice.
Yeah,
we hung in there. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, everybody's sending me texts like, they got blown out again. I'm like, well, wait a second. I'm not trying to go moral victory on y'all, but, like, it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. That ain't bad.
No, it wasn't. They were very good. I mean, it was a pretty good game for three quarters.
Yeah. Appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. It's like every year with Tennessee, it's kind of like that.
Chris Burke, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chris, we appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, there's Chris Burke. Yeah, I had that. I had forgotten about the 2004. The Astros had won in 2004 in advance for the first time. In 2005, Chris Burke hit the home run. Mm-hmm. So my bad. I don't know. I always thought that was the one that advanced them for the first time in the playoffs. Actually, it was the year before, 2004, and they beat them 12-3. They beat them 12-3 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And advanced. All right. So MyBookie is what I'm talking about right now. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. You know, the Astros started at -150 against the Braves. It's down a little bit to -145. So you can catch it. If you want to bet on your Astros, well, you can do it. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. You want to bet on your Texans? Don't. If you want to throw your money away, you can at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Or you want to bet against the Texans and win every time? You can do that as well. All you got to do is go to MyBookie. It's so easy to navigate. So wonderful. I hit some. I missed some this weekend. That's okay. Made a little money, but not as much as I would have liked to because of Penn State. Thank you for nothing. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Whatever you deposit, if you're on, you haven't been on before, you've been on, everybody who deposits up to $1,000 will get that doubled right now at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about my good friend Craig DeSerf and Rick Drenner and everyone over there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And I got some really good deals to tell you about, and I think that's, you know, important. If you're looking for vehicles, you always want to find the best. They're called programs, right? Every month there's new programs that come out, and they're meant to entice you and give you sales, basically, good opportunities with dealer cash back and things of that nature. But I'm just here to tell you right now that when it comes to the good people over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, not only are you going to get the very best purchase allowances that they can find for you and all the best programs, they're going to give you the most they can possibly give you for your trade-in value. They want you to get the best financial incentives possible so that you can get the vehicle that you want and that you love. And it can be a pickup truck like the GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab. It can be a Chevy Silverado. We might be talking about SUVs. that you're looking for, like the Buick Enclave or the GMC Acadia or the what I drive, the Chevy Traverse. And, of course, the larger size SUV is certainly available as well. Make sure that you give my friends over in Angleton a shot because they're really going to take care of you from start to finish. And when I say finish, that's after the car buying experience. They're still taking care of you. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC in Angleton. To see the entire selection that they have in stock, go to LanceZCars.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, that is kind of a big deal. We got some breaking news here. Just released the umpire crew. Okay, let's hear it. How pitiful this is going to be. How pissed off are we going to be?
Well, there's a few names on here that are not great.
What?
Tell me. Well, our ass will be in the jackpot. Tom Hallion.
Tom Hallion made the
crew chief.
Honest, Tom, he's the crew chief.
Yep.
He's the...
The Astros had the worst game of the year that they've had with an umpire with Tom Hallion. He was the White Sox guy. Yeah. He was the White Sox umpire.
Now, this is from umpattire.com. Or at umpattired.com, Twitter, or whatever.
Is I don't know. It's
one of those weird, like umpiring Twitter accounts that, like, it's not verified, but it looks official. We'll see. I don't know if this is legit, but if it is legit, this is not great. Tom Hallion, Ted Barrett, Ron Culpa, not great. Alfonso Marquez, Dan Bellino, Mike McClinsky, I don't know who he is, and Chris Conroy. So the two names, Culpa and
if you
Hallion,
know their names, it's a bad
yeah.
Thing.
I mean, two guys out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 7.
Who are the most suspect, do you think? Culpa, Hallion, and did you have another one or just those two?
Somebody else mentioned Barrett, which I don't think I've ever.
I'm looking up their stats. You can go to Covers.
What's his name? Marty Barrett?
Ted Barrett.
Ted Barrett. Oh, okay. I don't know.
So you can go to covers.com, and you can find umpire statistics, jersey number, average run scored, all that stuff. So I'm going to take a little strike percentage for example, Ron Culpa's strike percentage is 64.75 for the year. For Tom Hallion, it's 63.63.
That's bad. Strike percentage, that's the number of correct ones?
Well, no, it's just the amount of pitches they call strikes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then Ted Barrett, 63.64. So what I would tell you is that Ron Culpa's damn near 65%. He's probably going to – you nibble off the plate, and you might have a shot at getting
some
strikes.
Same with Hallion.
Hallion's numbers aren't as bad, 63.63, but it was 100% that way in that playoff game. You didn't have to be in the plate. You just had to hit your spot. And something that happened, I'll tell you what, there was a big difference between when Houck was in for the Red Sox, and he would make some really good pitches, but he'd miss location. You'd have the catcher would be set up inside, and he'd end up, and it'd be low and inside, and the ball would end up low and away. And because the catcher would have to move, he wasn't getting balls that were supposed to be strikes. He wasn't getting a call because the catcher was moving so much. The flip side of that is Machete was getting some calls that he was able to that could have been borderline that he was able to pull into strikes because he sat real quiet and real still. Garcia was hitting his spots.
That's how you
and he was
up.
Able to just kind of just
a catcher
bring
quiet,
it right back
pulls up.
You got to have a quiet catcher, and a lot of that's on the pitcher. Like you can't be a wild stallion just. You know, you set up on the inner portion. That's why I think you can't. Sometimes I like the fact that Machete doesn't move his whole body too far over in one direction, yeah. That he'll stay kind of centered and just kind of move, just kind of shift gradually toward the location he wants and try to set up the glove there. But it's also a matter of can the pitchers generally have accuracy to the mitt? And when you don't, you can have a great arm like Houck did, but you're going to miss some calls that might be strikes. But teams like the Braves, Chase Hernandez was asking, hey, I was when the Astros couldn't get by the Braves, I was too young to really pay attention to what was going on. What was the issue? Well, the issue was you had two star players, neither one of them hitting the playoffs, and you didn't have a lineup good enough to beat Hall of Fame pitchers. I mean, and then the Hall of Fame pitchers really throughout, you're talking Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, three Hall of Famers, they started testing umpires, and when the umpires would give them strikes off the plate, They had the control that they could keep eating at those spots. And basically, the strike zone became enormous. Yeah. It became enormous.
Eric Gregg.
Eric Gregg was a joke.
It was a joke. It was such a joke. Such a joke, that game. That was against the Marlins, I believe. It was just stupid how wide that plate was.
Yeah.
And Eric Gregg became a meme before there was the internet. I think that was before the internet, and it became a meme and a gif. When we come back, one thing you learned this weekend, in one sentence, 713-780-3776.
You guys are good at this.
You're pretty good. One thing you learned this weekend in one sentence.
Everyone
that's
knows
all
the
you
rules.
Get. 713-780-3776. Right now, Lance and I are talking about Michael over Pete's Fine Meats. Family-owned and operated. Been in Michael's dad, Pete, started it. That's why it's called Pete. But Michael's been there forever now and doing it. And he's got his daughter
Lamar
there.
Lamar Consolidated. Yeah. Shout out to Michael.
Way to go, Michael.
That's where he was from.
Way to be educated in the Houston area. Right. And here's the deal is what you're getting is an old-time butcher, but you're getting the highest quality meats that you can possibly get. When you're talking about the Wagyu, you can get Kobe beef there. You can get
I did a tomahawk over the weekend. Brought it to a friend's. We watched the Astros.
How many people did you feed off that one?
Six people ate. No, five people were eating off of it.
Really?
No, six. Two kids, four adults. I mean, you just slice it thin, and we used it as an appetizer. And I'm telling you, that was a ton of meat.
Yeah,
that was a ton of meat, and it's prime. And so that was actually Wagyu. It's just, but that's an example of I've done a bone-in pork chop before. The only place I've ever gotten it is Pete's Fine Meat.
Really?
The only place I've
seen
it.
Oh, I love bone-in pork chop.
Yeah, really? You don't see it a lot. That's the only place I've seen
it. So you're looking for the best in meats, and you're looking for a guy
who... Alligator? You want some gator?
Not only that, when I get mine, I get my burgers from him. Hey, season them for me. And then he air packs them, and they sit in there.
I did brats for the first time yesterday. I had brats yesterday. I made brats from Pete's Fine Meats. I didn't know he did homemade brats. But there we are.
They're unbelievable. So all you got to do is go to Pete's Fine Meats. It's at Richmond and Chimney Rock and tell them that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're going to love Michael. I swear to God, you're going to think this is going to be the best meat you ever had. Pete's Fine Meats.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go SaberCats.